This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, February 24, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. The Big Show is All Elite. Six words I never thought I would hear myself say, but here we sit. I thought the man was WWE for life. It's been a long time since I was genuinely surprised by a Big Show turn. God knows we've seen so many of them over the years, I've lost count. This was not a turn I expected. We've seen babyface turns, we've seen heel turns. This was his biggest turn yet. He turned on Vince McMahon. He turned on WWE. We got a lot to get into here. You pretty much know what the top story is going to be before I even get to the show tonight. A show, by the way, that I thought was very good. I actually thought tonight's show was very strong. Very strong episode of Dynamite. Heading into what is, you know, we have a pay-per-view in about 10 days, but they're really hyping up next week's episode of Dynamite, the big Cody and Shaq tag team match. I didn't know what to expect tonight. I knew it wasn't a live show, so I wasn't expecting much, but on the whole, I thought it was a very good show. The big news was the surprise signing of Paul White, one half of last year's WrestleMania main event. That's right. As far as I'm concerned, that was the WrestleMania main event last year. They taped it immediately after the Lesnar-McIntyre match, even though it didn't air until the next night. You know, when we heard about Cody talking about his Go Big Show, who knew that he would take it so literally? But it's true. After 22 years with World Wrestling Entertainment, I never thought we would see the day. A guy like Big Show, he's up there with Undertaker and Kane, who I cannot imagine them ever leaving the company and going somewhere else. Just can't even really fathom it. Or fathom Vince McMahon allowing him to leave without throwing buckets of money at him to stay. Now, you can say, oh, you know, he's old and he doesn't wrestle much anymore, so I doubt Vince McMahon cares. I guarantee you, wasn't a fly on the wall, although I would love to be. I would love to be a fly on the wall when Vince McMahon gets the news or the message comes across his mobile phone that Paul White is All Elite. So I'm sure he didn't have a smile on his face. Of course it affected him. Of course he wasn't happy. Did Big Show give him a heads up? Was he blindsided by the news? That I don't know. It doesn't sound like Big Show was very happy as far as the parting of the ways. So I don't know if he would have given Vince a heads up about this. And frankly, he doesn't have to. He's under no obligation to. But if you don't think it doesn't bother Vince McMahon, then you're just not paying attention. For the same reason that he went out of his way to make sure that Edge did not leave to go to AEW when Edge talked about how he, you know, had a conversation with Tony Khan. Tony Khan had made a very fair, very nice offer to him to come in to, you know, wrestle a few matches, but really be someone who can help out behind the scenes. And Edge said out of loyalty and respect to Vince McMahon for all that he's done for him, he felt he had to go to Vince and at least tell him about the offer before thinking about accepting it. We could have had Edge in AEW. And what happened? Edge went to Vince McMahon and Vince said, no, if you're going to come back, you're going to come back right here. Even though they wouldn't let him back in the ring for 9 years, all of a sudden, well, you know, if you're going to wrestle again, you got to do it here. Let's work something out. And then Edge goes and reportedly signs one of the most lucrative deals in the history of the company. I mean, I don't even have it in front of me, but like a crazy amount of money for X number of matches each year. You don't think Vince McMahon doesn't want these guys, these Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, to not go work somewhere else? So for that reason alone, it's a big deal that something like this actually ended up happening. Here's what we know about this. Per PW Insider, Big Show and WWE, they were unable to come to terms on a new deal financially. It always comes down to money. These things always come down to money. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. Even when Bret Hart left the company, I know Bret really wanted to stay. Oh, I don't want to go to WCW. Bret got a very sweetheart deal to go to WCW. He made sure he got the best possible financial deal because it is the wrestling business. And you are in it to make as much money as you can. Yes, you want to have fun. Yes, you can have passion for it. There's other perks to working for certain companies. Creative freedom. You like the people you work with. But you want to make money. So I'm not surprised to find out it came down to finances. Not at all. Apparently his contract expired only a few days after his last appearance on Raw Legends Night. We just saw him last month. Remember the beginning of January? Big Show was in the back being insulted by Randy Orton. That'll be the last appearance of Big Show in WWE, at least for a few years. Being insulted to his face by Randy Orton in the back and not doing anything about it. But according to PW Insider, he was very open behind the scenes that night about his unhappiness with the situation. So I look forward to the AEW Unrestricted interview that you know is going to come with Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards. I'm sure at some point they're going to sit down with the Big Show and they're going to talk to him. Hey, what happened? How did you end up in AEW? And we're going to get the story from him directly. But he was making it very known that he was not happy about what was going on. And apparently last Friday, he was very quietly moved to the alumni section of WWE.com. I guess nobody noticed, or maybe people noticed and they didn't think anything of it. Because again, who would think the Big Show would leave and go anywhere else? So what we know is that he has signed a long-term multi-year deal with AEW. So the Big Show's not going nowhere. I don't know what they're going to call him. They're calling him by his real name right now, Paul White. I don't really see the need to give him a nickname. Everybody's known him by this other name for so long. What are you going to do? Why don't you give him that fake name that went around on the internet years ago that people thought he was going to be called, which actually is not true. They can call him Titan, right? Or the Big Nasty. Probably just going to call him Paul White. You may as well. For what is said to be an extensive role, including a return to the ring. So anybody wondering, oh, he's just doing commentary. He's not going to wrestle. Read the press release. It says it right there. He is going to wrestle. Now, it doesn't say how often he's going to wrestle. He should not be wrestling very often. I do not want to see him wrestling very often. There's no need for him to wrestle very often. But that answers one key question. Is he going to get in the ring? The answer is yes. And it makes sense, right? Every now and then there's maybe a special match or some kind of tag match. You're not going to throw a bunch of money at this guy and not have him in the ring. So we know he's going to wrestle, but he's going to be providing commentary with Tony Schiavone for a new AEW show on YouTube called AEW Dark Elevation. So that sounds to me like they might be cutting Dark in half, effectively. I don't watch Dark every week, but when I do, I'm amazed that they squeeze as many matches as they do into the time frame, about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours. It's a lot of matches. It's a lot of matches. And some people won't complain about it, right? The more wrestling, the better. People love wrestling. That's great. But when I look at these Dark cards sometimes, and they have literally 16, 17, 18 matches listed, it's too much. It's too much. So I'm not surprised they would want to. I can't imagine they're going to have 16 matches on Dark and then have another Dark. So they're probably doing this for as much as anything to cut down on the size of Dark every week. I mean, it is a lot of matches. So it's called AEW Dark Elevation. And that's going to be airing on YouTube Mondays at 7 p.m. beginning on March 15th. So March 15th is the start date. On YouTube, 7 Eastern, and it's going to have AEW rising stars, established stars, top independent stars, so, you know, an extension of Dark, basically. It's pretty much what Dark is, and they say that it's going to maintain the continuity with Dynamite, Dark, and pay-per-view shows, so they'll all tie together. Look, I don't really have an appetite for seeing the Big Show in the ring. There was a time in the last 4 or 5 years where he was being featured way too much. He and Kane both were being overexposed. I still have nightmares thinking back to the Authority, the Royal Rumble in 2015, that whole period. Big Show and Kane every fucking week. Actually, this is probably about 6 years ago now, 5, 6 years. And I remember making a comment. I said, I would love to see the Big Show and Kane in a match at WrestleMania, in a quicksand match, as we watch both of them sink to the very bottom. That's how overexposed they were, even as recently as a few years ago. I would hope that AEW is smarter than that and understands that there's a right way to use somebody, a legend like the Big Show, and there's a wrong way to use somebody like the Big Show. So I am going to take a wait-and-see approach as far as how they use him, beyond the commentary stuff, you know, as far as how they use him. On commentary, I actually think he can be a big asset. I really do. Now, he has not done commentary very often, but there have been guest spots that he has done, like on SmackDown and stuff. From what I can remember, he wasn't bad. I feel like he has the voice for it. He's a witty guy. He's got a sense of humor. He and Tony Schiavone, you know, if they play as well off of each other as Taz and Excalibur do on Dark, because Taz and Excalibur, when I tune into Dark, they're actually very entertaining together. Probably less pressure. You're not on live TV. You don't have to worry about commercial breaks. If this show is like that, I think Tony and Big Show could actually develop a fun chemistry together. So I'm all in on Big Show getting the experiment here as a commentator, because I think he can really excel and do well at it. So I think that's a good thing. But look, signing these guys, if you feel that there's a role for them as some sort of ambassador to the brand, Big Show's got a name. Okay, he's not Hulk Hogan. He's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's not The Rock. He's not John Cena. He's one level below. And what I mean by that is most people who don't know jack shit about wrestling have probably heard the name John Cena. They definitely have heard the name Dwayne Johnson. They've heard Hulk Hogan. They might have heard Stone Cold. You know, he's been retired for a long time now, almost 20 years. Many of them probably would not know who the Big Show is. He had a show on Netflix, didn't even last more than one season. It got canceled. So he's not at that megastar level, but he is a big name. And I think there is value there. I said the same thing with Sting. I didn't want to see Sting come in and start wrestling matches all the time, but I said, but, you know, if I'm Tony Khan, if I'm running this company, and I could get my hands on Sting, Sting is a free agent, Sting is available. I mean, why wouldn't I sign somebody like that? Merch, be in the next video game, right? AEW just had a big video game that they're, you know, about to come out with soon. You can get a guy like that into something like that, I'd be a fool not to tap into that. I mean, 24 hours after Sting debuted on Dynamite, I think he had the record for the fastest selling t-shirt in pro wrestling tees history. So there is always value in bringing in people like this. You gotta use them in the right way. I'm not going to crap on the move until I see exactly how they use him. But I do think there could be value there. For anybody wondering what this means for a second AEW show, I did get some questions about that. Does this mean that there is no AEW second show on TNT? Is this the second show? The answer is no. This is not the second show. It's probably in their contract. They are going to have a second show on TNT. We still don't have a date. It sounds like it's going to be later this year at some point. We don't know when. We don't know the format. We don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know the name. We don't know anything. But this is not the second show. This is in addition to whatever that second show is going to be. So I wanted to clear that up here. I thought that for the second show, Saturday nights at 6:05 p.m. would be the perfect time for it. Go old school, Saturday night, 6:05 on the Superstation. I still think that would be a good time for that second show to air. But all of this is not lost on me that we have Shaquille O'Neal, who is wrestling his first match in AEW next week. Shaq is in the ring next week. So we're going to have some fun, because that's either going to impress a lot of people or it's going to be such a train wreck that I can't wait to review this thing on the stream next week. I'm rubbing my hands together. I can't wait. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's good for me. I don't know if it's such a good thing for the show, but for my show, it's great. So I'm looking forward to that next week. Jade Cargill, we don't even know if the woman could do a headlock. We have no idea. We're going to do that next week. But it's very funny to me that Shaq is wrestling next week, and in comes The Big Show. It's almost as if The Big Show is just following him. He's like hunting this guy down because he never got the singles match with him that he wanted. They were supposed to have a singles match in WWE. It never happened. And it just seems like where one goes, so goes the other. So I think that's pretty much the key stuff as far as The Big Show is concerned. Look, you guys can yell at me and tell me I told you so if in 3 months I have to sit here reviewing Dynamite and I'm reviewing a Big Show versus Sting match at Daly's Place, okay? Then you can throw tomatoes and shit at me. I don't think that's going to happen. If it does, though, then we have TNA 2.0, which nobody wants that. We don't want TNA 2.0. Even Impact Wrestling right now does not want TNA 2.0. I don't think we're going to get that. But if Big Show is going to come in and do commentary and be a mentor and help out behind the scenes and impart his knowledge, I see nothing wrong with that. Now, the show tonight is kind of what you came here for, right? The show tonight, by the way, thank you to everybody who has sent in a super chat already. I have gotten every single one of them. I'm going to read them all. I'm sure you have a lot of comments and a lot of opinions about the Big Show news, not just tonight's show. So this is a good time to chime in. If you have thoughts or questions about any of that stuff, I will be happy to talk about it a little bit later. But they open with Jon Moxley, one-on-one against Dolph Ziggler, against Ryan Nemeth. I told you, every time I look at this guy, I can't help it. I can't help it. That's the first thing I think of. Maybe it's the hair. Jon Moxley, actually, we saw Jon Moxley against Dolph Ziggler plenty of times. And those matches ended much like this one did, with a pretty dominant Jon Moxley win. Jon Moxley made short work of Mr. Nemeth, beat him with the paradigm shift. And who cares about the match? It was not about the match. It was about what came after the match. Jon Moxley, he finishes this guy off. He grabs a chair. He brings it into the ring. And it's time for promo class, everybody. Promo class with Jon Moxley. This right here is where Moxley shines. You put a microphone in his hand. There's just something genuine about the guy. He just seems a little bit off. It just seems like when the cameras are off, the guy that you see and hear on these shows, when he talks, when he cuts a promo, is probably the same guy when the little red light goes off. It's not a gimmick. He's not pretending to be something he's not. What you see is what you get. He's a little rougher on the edges, but he has a way with words. And when he's got a big fight and a big match to promote, and he did it with Omega before Winter Is Coming, he did some great promo work then too. But when he's on his A game, you put a microphone in his hand, Jon Moxley is one of the best promos in the entire, not just the entire company, but I would say in the entire business. Right now, actively, he's got to be top five. And tonight was some of his best work. He was talking about what images come to mind when you hear the words exploding barbed wire deathmatch, which is what he's going to have with Kenny Omega for the championship at Revolution on March 7th. He says, fire, blood, burns, torture, agony, and vintage Japanese wrestling magazines. Do they make you feel revolted and disgusted? Or do you get a sick thrill? He says, I am an addict. I am addicted to this. And he's going into this whole spiel about how he's addicted to the feeling it gives him. And it just reminded me of what I just talked about on the podcast on Sunday when I did the history segment. And I talked about the Eddie Guerrero addict promo, which was almost a year to the week before Eddie's match at No Way Out with Brock Lesnar, where he won the WWE title. It's a famous promo, one of his best, where he stood in the ring with Brock and he said, you know, he poured his heart out. He talked about his past problems and how he embarrassed his family and shamed his kids. And he said, I am an addict. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted. He pointed to the fans. I'm addicted to all of this and the championship. That's what this reminded me of here a little. Not as good as the Eddie promo. I'm not putting this one over that one, but I'm just saying it reminded me of that. And he said, Kenny Omega follows a long line of guys that tried to take him out. But win, lose, or draw, everybody watching at Revolution will know that Jon Moxley gave everything he had. And if it comes to an end on pay-per-view, that is a hell of a way to go out. Excalibur clarified that in the match at Revolution, the ropes will be made of barbed wire. So they're going to pull down the ring ropes, and instead of the ropes, we're going to have barbed wire all around the ring. And he said that there will be landmines on the floor. Step on one, kablooey. Hence, exploding barbed wire deathmatch. It'll be a spectacle. I'm not a deathmatch connoisseur, personally. So, this match is not geared to me. I am not the target audience for this match. I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to watch. I'm sure these guys are going to go out there and beat the fuck out of each other. And it could end up being a lot of fun. Or it could end up being one of the more revolting things that I've ever seen. I guess that's kind of the hook for the pay-per-view. Pay your money to see these guys blow each other up. What's not to like? But I thought this promo was great. John Moxley, in this environment, is better than pretty much anybody else that you'll find. In terms of communicating what he, you know, the key points he wants to make. But it's the believability. He's got that authenticity about him that maybe that's why I look at his promos and I think they're so great. Is not so much if you put his promos up against like classic Ric Flair or Roddy Piper or some of the great promos in wrestling history. I mean, he might be on the list, but I think it's the fact that these days it's hard to find somebody who has that authenticity about them. And he's got it. And I think that came across here in this promo. We had Brian Cage and Ricky Starks representing Team Taz against the Varsity Blondes, Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. I really liked this match. I really did. Pillman, I thought, looked real good. He hit a sweet-looking drop kick at one point through the ropes, hit the ropes, and just perfectly dove through, hit a drop kick to Ricky Starks outside the ring. And then Brian Cage, who, after powerbombing Sting on TV last week, Brian Cage powerbombs Pillman into the ring post. And this was not like a love tap. He chucked this guy right into the ring post. And poor Brian Pillman Jr., he falls straight down, ass first, right on the edge of where the steps are to the ring. That looked like it sucked. I watched that. I thought, Jesus Christ, this guy just landed in the worst possible position on the worst part of the steps. So Brian Cage, he is taunting Griff Garris. He's got Brian Pillman, and he's doing bicep curls with him. Like he's barbell weight. Chucks him aside. But Garrison gets the hot tag. He splashes Ricky Starks in the corner, dives over the ropes onto Brian Cage, and Garrison lands a sit-out facebuster to Ricky Starks. Cage broke up the pin attempt. This was actually way more competitive than I expected it to be. It's Cage and Starks taking on Sting and Darby Allin at the pay-per-view. And I didn't expect it to be a total squash, but kind of a pleasant surprise how competitive this match turned out to be. So we had a doomsday drop kick from Garrison and Pillman to Ricky Starks for a near fall. Cage tagged himself back in and tossed Garrison outside. He landed a discus clothesline on Pillman and a drill claw for the win. Now, after the match, all of a sudden, the lights go out. Everything goes dark. It's AEW dark here on Dynamite. The lights go out, and we see a video up on the Tron. And in this video, very slickly produced video with music and everything, Sting is driving a car or a truck, I don't remember which, through the desert somewhere. And tied to the back of the car is Darby Allin in a body bag, which if you remember, Team Taz did that to Darby in the parking lot, and I kind of joked, oh, he probably liked it. He probably enjoyed it. Well, here he was taking a joyride, being drugged behind the car through the desert, and when Sting opens up the body bag, Darby pops out, big smile on his face. He's got the TNT title. So that was kind of weird. And when that video is over, the snow is falling at Daly's place. Out comes Sting with the baseball bat, and he's dragging a body bag with him. They want you to think that Darby Allin, it's the reason they aired the video, they want you to think that Darby Allin is in the body bag. But when Sting unzips the body bag, it is not Darby Allin inside, but it's Taz's son. Now, Taz was on commentary. Taz's son, Hook. Hook is in the bag. Taz on commentary, he drops an S-bomb. What is this shit? Throws the headset off. This was all a diversion. Sting points up to the rafters, and Darby Allin is riding a zip line from the rafters of Daly's place. From the nosebleeds, riding a zip line, he's got his skateboard in hand, and he is ziplining Shawn Michaels style at WrestleMania 12. He is ziplining to the ring. And this was silly. I mean, it was a cool visual, but it was silly because he wasn't zipping fast enough. Right? You can only zip so fast. So Starks, and this was an edited show. It might have been worse in real time. This was a taped show, so they could have edited it to make it look a little bit better. So Starks and Cage had to just stand there and wait for him. It's like they were in a state of shock, and it reminded me of the final Nitro. Funny enough, right? Sting in this segment. It reminded me of the final Nitro before Starrcade 97, the big Sting-Hollywood Hogan match. If you remember how that episode of Nitro ended, it was Sting ziplining from like the roof, not of the arena, but from the roof over the entranceway. And he is ziplining to the ring where Hogan is. Hogan is standing in the ring. And I remember this camera shot. The camera is in the ring behind Hogan. So you can see Sting coming in. But Sting ain't going fast enough. And Hogan is just standing there and standing. It's like that scene out of Austin Powers where he's driving that giant, what do you call that thing? With the roller that rolls things over. Zamboni? Is that a Zamboni? I guess it was a Zamboni. He's in the Zamboni, and the guy is just standing there screaming. He's like, get out of the way! And the guy's just screaming. That's what that reminded me of. This wasn't as bad as that, but I did laugh. That's not the reaction you want to go for. But it was the thought that counts, right? It was still a cool visual. So he zips in, and Sting is getting some revenge on Team Taz for what they did to him the week before. Stinger splash in the corner to Brian Cage, followed by the Scorpion Death Drop. And they stand over Sting, or Sting rather stands over Brian Cage, so they get their revenge. JD in the chat says, JR saying, kids today, waiting for zip lines, looks so fake. Is that what he said? I didn't even hear. I think I tuned out some of the commentary. I thought it was a fun segment, though. Again, that was silly, that part, because of the waiting around. But I thought it was cool to see Sting hitting his signature moves. He looked good. You know, he didn't have to do much. One Stinger splash looked good. Scorpion Death Drop looked good. I think as long as he doesn't do the Scorpion Death Lock, it'll be okay. All the times I saw Sting do the Scorpion Death Lock in his later years in Impact, it didn't look good because of his knees. He can't really sit down on it. So, you know, you turn the guy over and you just kind of stand there and it just looks so stupid. He doesn't have to. Scorpion Death Drop is fine. We don't need a Scorpion Death Lock. Tony Schiavone, though, interviewed Kip Sabian, Penelope Ford, and Miro about the wedding gone awry a few weeks ago. The wedding didn't quite go as planned. And Sabian was mad that this was even taking place because Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor ruined his wedding. The best part of this was Miro calling Orange Cassidy that little walking Xanax human being. I was like, where did that come from? I've never heard that insult. I can honestly tell you, of all the insults I've ever heard, I don't think I've ever heard another human being referred to as a Xanax. That is a first. That is a first. Not even sure exactly what he was trying to say there. Or maybe because he's very sedated. All right, maybe that's what he meant. But Miro said that he wants to wrestle Orange Cassidy, but he was pleading with Chuck. Charles, please come back. You could still be my butler. I forgive you. I don't forget, but I forgive. Come on back. Some stagehand interrupted the interview, handed Tony Schiavone a note. Tony then read the note to Miro and Sabian, which basically was from best friends, challenging them to a match at Revolution. My hope is that this will be the end of this entire storyline. This will put a nice little bow on it, and we can move on. Orange Cassidy can move on. Miro can move on. I think we're about done with this. I think it peaked with Father James Mitchell. I think this whole thing peaked with the Sinister Minister. I don't really think you can get back to that high. So let's close this out. Speaking of closing things out, I wish we could have closed this whole match out. Jake Hager against Brandon Cutler. This match was just an excuse to get the Young Bucks to run out after the match was over. I'll tell you why. But we still had to sit through 3 minutes of Jake Hager against Brandon Cutler. Hager hit a Hager bomb. Now, fuck that. Vader bomb. Hager bomb. It's always going to be a Vader bomb. Hit a Vader bomb out of the corner. Did not go for the pin. Cutler low-bridged Hager to the floor. And hit a series of dives out onto the floor. Cutler then took to the top rope and dove at Jake Hager. Got caught and got slammed with a belly-to-belly. Hager hit a running lariat. And that was the end of Mr. Cutler. Out comes members, not the full inner circle, but Santana, Ortiz, Wardlow. They come out. They're beating down Brandon Cutler. And that was... the purpose of that was to get the Young Bucks out, because Brandon Cutler has a job in AEW because he is childhood friends with the Young Bucks. That is why he works for AEW. Plain and simple. I mean, they said as much on commentary. So that brought out the Young Bucks to come save their friend and chase them off. Now they have a microphone. Matt Jackson has a microphone and he says, we don't have to wait until Revolution. Jericho, MJF, get your asses out here. Now, earlier in the show, they showed the Young Bucks arriving earlier in the day, and his parents were there, including Papa Buck. Papa Buck was in the audience last week, went face-to-face with Chris Jericho, and shoved him, and Jericho didn't do anything. And I was like, well, boy, does that make Jericho look weak. So now we come to this week. They're in the back, and they see the back of this production truck. And this particular truck happens to have the images of Matt and Nick Jackson. So they say, oh, we'll take a nice family photo. This is great. We'll take a picture of the Bucks, Papa Buck in front of his sons. What a nice moment. Well, in wrestling, there's no such thing as nice moments. And you knew the moment that segment was over that Papa Buck was getting fucked up at some point. Because you can't just leave it after that. There's no such thing as a happy ending in wrestling. I mean, there's obviously happy endings in Florida. I know this because of the owner of the Patriots, the New England Patriots. I know he was pretty happy once down in Florida, but that's a different story. But generally speaking, there aren't very many happy endings to segments like this in wrestling, and this was no exception. Jericho's music hits. He doesn't come out. But they do pop up on the Tron. And we see Jericho and MJF in the back, and they're by the truck that the Bucks had taken the picture in front of earlier on. But what we don't see is that Papa Buck is with them, and Papa Buck has been busted open. He is bleeding. We don't know how. Obviously, they kicked his ass, and they smeared jelly or jam, I guess the same thing, all over his, or ketchup, all over his face. Papa Buck is bleeding. They ram him face first into the back of the truck, and he does this face plant into the door, blood smears as he kind of rolls down. Then they do it again on the other side. So now Matt Jackson's picture has blood on it. Nick Jackson's picture has blood on it. I give credit to Papa Buck here. I laughed. The way he was selling this, he looked dead. I mean, he was selling it like he was dead. I thought it was actually very comical the way he sold this. He sold it well. So the Bucks make a mad dash for the back, trying to get to their father, trying to get to Jericho and MJF. They mock the Bucks before they run away. They do the Bucks pose. The Bucks do that pose, you know, like that. So they run off to their limousine. The Bucks eventually get to the back. Matt Jackson decides to go after Jericho and MJF. But they're too fast, the limo drives away, and that's the end of the segment. We come back, Papa Buck was loaded into an ambulance, he was driven away to a local medical facility. The Young Bucks, let's talk about the Young Bucks. Whenever I see the Young Bucks on TV, they come off as completely unlikable. I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. The way that they have been booked going back to the FTR feud, probably. They went through that little period where they were acting like a bunch of spoiled brats, and they were super kicking announcers in the face, and Tony Schiavone and Alex Marvez, and even after that was all over and done with, they are two of the more unlikable people on television. I don't know what it is about them. That's just how they come across. So what they did here was they at least gave me a reason to have some sympathy for them. Whereas before I would have had none. They designed this segment to make me sympathize with the Bucks, and the way they had to do it was to have their father beaten half to death. That's what they had to do to finally get me to have some sympathy for these two. We had a hype video for Cody in Red Velvet against Shaq and Jade Cargill. Can't wait for the Big Show distraction in that match. Think he'll get involved? Will, that should be the big question of the week. Will we have a Big Show cameo on the show? He's going to be on the show next week. I don't know if it's via satellite, taped, or if he'll be there live. He's going to be commenting. But will we see him, in some capacity, encounter Shaq on this show, even if it's in a backstage segment? I think we will. Even if they just run into each other in the back. I mean, how do you not? With the history there. Hangman Page against Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party. He had Matt Hardy and TH2 in his corner. I guess they're working with Matt, or I don't know if Matt signed them. Maybe I missed the mention on commentary, but Angelico and Jack Evans were out there. This was good stuff from these two. Hangman hit a plancha early on, clotheslined Cassidy into the crowd, and he was getting ready to powerbomb him. There's a table over in the area where Justin Roberts usually sits. He was going to powerbomb him. Isaiah Cassidy escaped, got into the ring. And as Hangman went to get into the ring, there was a distraction by TH2. Referee was distracted. Matt Hardy grabbed Page, sent him into the ring post. That brought out John Silver and Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. Try to even out the odds. And the official, once he realized what Matt Hardy had done, he ejected Matt Hardy from ringside. It went to a commercial break. Dark Order stayed at ringside from this point on. So Matt is gone. Dark Order is still at ringside, as is, I guess, TH2. Poison Rana by Isaiah Cassidy only gets two, but he locks a cross arm breaker on Hangman. Hangman gets to the bottom rope. Hangman hits the Deadeye at the end and gets the win. So, good match. All of a sudden, we hear Matt Hardy's voice. Now, Matt Hardy is not there because he was ejected from ringside. So we do not physically see Matt Hardy. We can only hear him. It's like the voice of God. And he is talking to Hangman Page. Says he's going to hurt each member of the Dark Order. The Dark Order, all these guys that he loves so much. He's going to take each one of them out. And all of a sudden, we see in the entrance tunnel, we see number 5 of the Dark Order, Alan Angels. He comes tumbling through the entrance tunnel like somebody just threw him through. It's Matt Hardy, and Hardy then tosses him from the stage, does like a cannonball off the stage, down through the table by the ring announce area, and then Matt runs away. So that was the segment. Trying to put more heat on the whole Hangman-Matt Hardy thing. You know, whatever. It's a mid-card feud. It is what it is. Somebody had floated the possibility to me, one of my listeners a few days ago, what if this is all just the big setup for Matt Hardy being revealed as the leader of the Dark Order because Hangman Page rejected them? What if Matt ends up, because remember, Matt was rumored to be the leader of the Dark Order when he debuted. It went to Brody Lee instead. Has Matt Hardy taken over the Dark Order? Is that what we're going to find out at Revolution? I don't think so. But that would be a hell of a swerve. So I just kind of put that idea out there as a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. But that would be quite the swerve. And it would make storyline sense because they're so heartbroken and devastated by Hangman rejecting their offer that they decided to go with Matt Hardy instead and help him win. Alex Marvez caught up with Kenny Omega. There it is. Peanut butter Vader time. Peanut butter Vader time. Love it. Love it. Thank you, Hugo. Appreciate it. So, as I was saying, Alex Marvez caught up with Kenny Omega and Don Callis, who were in the... They were in a workshop, I guess, in the back somewhere. I don't know where they were. Some kind of workshop. They're putting stuff together for the big exploding deathmatch of Revolution. They were in the process of building what Callis called a Moxley extermination chamber. Heard enough about chambers over the last week. Kenny Omega was doing the work himself. He was wearing a welder's mask, took it off, and started to cut a promo on Jon Moxley. And I don't understand, when they were putting this segment together, why the people who put this segment together thought that it would be a good idea, while Kenny Omega was trying to cut this promo, to have another person in the background using saws and making all of this noise. There was so much noise here, it was drowning out Omega when he was speaking. Who thought that would be a good... Nobody thought to tell this guy, hey, just like, you know, 30 seconds, just chill. Let the guy speak. I thought the Moxley promo was way more effective than this segment. This segment did nothing for me. I don't know what the fuck they were trying to do. It's like Undertaker trying to build a casket for Kamala or something. I mean, I don't know what the point of this was. At least in that segment, he was building a casket. What exactly was Kenny Omega working on here? Was he working on the landmines that Excalibur was talking about? Maybe he was working on the exploding landmine. I guess maybe that was what it was. But this segment did nothing for me. The Moxley promo, you could have just did away with this whole thing. Just air the Jon Moxley promo. That's all I need to see. That one promo is enough to sell somebody on the match. This thing was just stupid. We had the Women's World Title Eliminator semifinal. It was Nyla Rose against Britt Baker. Actually, before I even get to the match, unfortunately, Anna Jay was supposed to wrestle Britt Baker in the earlier round, and she did not. She was replaced by one of Thunder Rosa's students because Anna Jay injured her shoulder. Now, I don't know exactly what the injury... I think it might be a separation. I think that's what Dr. Samson said. But she suffered a shoulder injury. And apparently it didn't come on anything in particular, really. I mean, she was in the ring. She was training. I don't think she was doing a particular move or a dive or a bump or anything. But somewhere in training in the ring or practicing, she hurt her shoulder. And she's going to be out minimum of six, as many as 12 months. So this is an injury that could put her out for a year. And this is not her first shoulder injury. I don't know if she had previously injured the same shoulder. I think it's her right shoulder. So if that's the case, you hope it's not a developing, recurring history of this. Because shoulder injuries, I haven't had one, but shoulder injuries, from everything I've heard, people who have, They're worse than most. They can be very tough to come back from, depending on the severity of the injury. It's like people who break their collarbone are more susceptible to breaking it, you know, re-breaking it in the future. It's tough. Some of these injuries are tough. And hopefully it's not a case where she's injury prone with the shoulder. But 12 months, I mean, that's awful. So that was very... very shitty news to hear about this week. Hopefully she'll be able to come back a little bit sooner. But let's talk about this match here with Nyla Rose and Britt Baker. I can't believe the outcome here. And I'm not upset because I predicted wrong. I predict plenty of things wrong. I'm used to it. It's not about that. The reason I made the prediction I made, though, is because that was the outcome that made the most sense. Because Britt Baker has been a featured performer on TV now for many months. Nyla Rose hasn't done shit on television. In fact, she's barely been on Dynamite in months. And Nyla Rose beat Britt Baker in this match. Nyla Rose beat Britt Baker to advance to the next round of this tournament, I'm sure just to lose to whoever it is that she's going to wrestle, either Riho or Thunder Rosa, and they love Riho, so it's probably going to be her, would be my guess. So, I just think it was the wrong move. It was the wrong decision to make here. Was not happy about that. I just thought it was terrible. Terrible decision. Fucking terrible decision. We had but the match itself was actually pretty good. Britt Baker was targeting Nyla's arm. Nyla Rose hit a superplex, and Britt Baker countered the follow-up on that with a suplex of her own into the corner. And Baker had some forearm shots that she was laying in on Nyla Rose. So Nyla now is climbing the ropes. She gets distracted by Rebel, and Nyla flattens her, takes care of Rebel, hits a Uranage. Britt Baker boots Nyla, gets the surgical glove from Rebel that she puts on before she puts on Lockjaw, and instead she turned around and walked into a chokeslam. Rebel gets back in the ring. She falls victim to a cannonball in the corner. Britt Baker takes advantage, tries to put the Lockjaw on. She's trying to lock this in. Nyla Rose obviously is bigger than she is and powers out of it. Britt Baker lays in some kicks. Hits a crucifix bomb for a near fall. Nyla Rose fights her way out of the Lockjaw again. Second time she is attempting the Lockjaw. She fights out of it. And she knocked Britt Baker into the middle of next week's Dynamite with a right hand. Punched this woman right in the face. And Britt Baker just fell backwards right down on her butt. Nyla Rose hits the Beast Bomb. I thought it was over then. Britt Baker kicks out. I said, oh, thank God. They actually have come to their senses here. They're not going to put Nyla Rose over in this match. She kicked out of the Beast Bomb. How is Britt Baker going to pull this? She's clearly going to win. How is she going to pull this out? Well, boy, do I feel stupid. Britt Baker missed a super kick. Nyla hit a second Beast Bomb, and she got the win. Nyla Rose beats Britt Baker and advances in the tournament. This turned into a pretty good match. I don't want to crap on the match itself. I wasn't really sold on it early on. As it went on, though, it got better. I thought it turned into a pretty good match. I really wasn't sold on it until the final minutes. So this Sunday on Bleacher Report, it's going to be Riho against Thunder Rosa in the next round of this tournament. Whoever wins that, I'm going to assume, is not only beating Nyla Rose, but probably winning the entire thing. And the way they book Riho, I mean, they're pretty high on Riho. Riho hasn't been back very long, but even before the pandemic, I mean, they're pretty high on Riho. If I had a guess, it might be Riho going all the way. I don't agree with this. Main event was Rey Fénix against Lance Archer in a Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. Now, this is how you close out a show. There have been some really quality main events on Dynamite the last few weeks, really. Six-man tags. It was nice to have a one-on-one match for a change. AEW goes a little overboard. It's pretty obvious. They go overboard with all of the tag matches. I think it's just the fact they have the one show. I'm not counting Dark. I'm talking TNT. They have the one show. The second show is not coming for at least many more months. So they try to get as many people on these shows as they can. They have a lot of talent under contract. And I think it's just their way. How can we squeeze as many people as possible onto these shows? Well, we'll have 10-man tags, 8-man tags, 6-man tags. And some of the 6-man tags are really good. But you get fatigued after a while. I like a good one-on-one main event, and that is what we got tonight between Rey Fénix and Lance Archer. The winner of the ladder match at Revolution, which is what these guys were trying to qualify for, will earn a TNT title match at some point with Darby Allin. I didn't say when, but the ladder match at Revolution, you do get a TNT title match. When? They haven't said yet, but that is what is on the line. Cody Rhodes has already qualified. Scorpio Sky and Penta, they're already in. Tony Khan is saying that he is keeping the final spot in the match open for a surprise entrance. So let the guessing begin about who the final entrant is going to be. Now, I don't want to get people's hopes up, because if you remember, they were kind of hyping a open spot in one of their battle royals a few months ago on pay-per-view. And all due respect to Matt Sydal, talented guy, but if you were hoping for some big mystery entrant and then out walks Matt Sydal, you might be a little let down by that. So I don't know what Tony Khan has planned here, but apparently he's got somebody in mind. Yeah, maybe it's a brand new person we haven't seen before. But it looks like there'll be a mystery entrant in this ladder match. Maybe Darby should be getting ready for the big show. Maybe that's what Darby Allin needs to be getting ready. Maybe the face of the revolution is going to be Paul White. Who knows? That's what we need to see. We need to see Paul White at age, 49, 50? Climbing up with bad knees, probably. Climbing a ladder. Yeah, that's exactly what we need. So Jake Roberts got involved very early on in this match. He was out there with Lance Archer. He held Rey Fénix's foot down as Fénix was on the top rope, caused Fénix to fall off the top rope and land on the ramp. So now Jake Roberts is on the ring steps, and he is cheerleading Lance Archer, who is on the floor trying to recover. Jake has his back turned. Rey Fénix is behind him. And Rey Fénix does a running dive, dives over Jake Roberts and onto Lance Archer. So I thought that was cool. Back from break, Archer was in total control, just having his way with this guy. Back in the ring, Fénix manages to hit a diving foot stomp to the back of Archer's head from the top rope. That gives Fénix a breather for a few seconds. Archer comes back, does his top rope walk into a moonsault, which is always impressive to see. Fénix says, well, as impressive as you may be, I'm just that much better. And a few minutes later, he hits Lance Archer, who is a big fucking man, with a Spanish fly off the top rope. It's always a cool spot to get a reaction from people. Yeah, we saw it on the Legends Night episode of Raw, right, with Drew McIntyre and Keith Lee. I'm pretty sure in that match, Keith Lee might have been on the receiving end of a... usually it's him hitting the move. I don't remember who hit it, but someone hit a Spanish fly. Those are two big guys to be doing a Spanish fly spot off the top. And the visual of it here was very cool. This guy is insane. The things that Rey Fénix can do, no man, no human being should be physically capable of doing the things that he does. That's what makes him so fun to watch and very scary, because one day he may kill himself. So Fénix was setting up for a move off the ropes. Archer hit the ropes, though, on the opposite side, and when they collided, he hit the pounce, and he sent Fénix halfway across the ring. There was a monstrous chokeslam by Lance Archer that only gets a two count, but the blackout hits, and the blackout wins it for Lance Archer with only seconds to spare. Only seconds to spare. They were in jeopardy of going off the air. This is like a Monday Night Raw episode from 1993. We'll bring you the conclusion of this match next week. You know how many times they brought us the conclusion of the match? Zero. There were times where they went off the air and they did not, in fact, show us the end of the match the following week. They fucking lied. But they got the finish in here just in the nick of time. Hell of a main event. Hell of a main event. Lance Archer advances now to the ladder match at Revolution. I see one person in the chat suggested that we may be seeing Carlito as the mystery entrant in the ladder match at Revolution. Well, then, you know, what? WWE has got to be looking at this going, all right, they took the big show. And now if Carlito, who got a tryout a few weeks ago after the Rumble, if he were to show up in AEW... then I would really love to be a fly on the wall in Vince McMahon's office. I would love to know what his reaction would be to that. So I believe they have an interest in him, maybe as an agent, if nothing else. But apparently Carlito is free agent. He's not signed to WWE. He may not, in fact, be coming back to WWE. So if he's free to go wherever, yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he is going to show up at Revolution. It's possible. Hey, when you're a free agent, anything is possible. So next Wednesday on Dynamite, it is the big match. Get ready. Get ready. This is a podcast reviewer's dream, a match like this. Because no matter what happens, it's just great content for the channel. Because you either have a match that's great, oh my God, I can't believe this was so much better than I expected it to be. The smoke and mirrors, somehow they made it work. What a great effort by AEW. Or the match is just the shits, and then I can really have some fun talking about it. So I am looking forward to Cody and Red Velvet Cake against Shaq and Jade Cargill next Wednesday on Dynamite. Jurassic Express and FTR take on, or Jurassic Express, I should say, take on FTR and Tully Blanchard. Matt Hardy, Private Party, and TH2 against the Dark Order. Dark Order's 10. Is that Preston Vance, I believe? Against Max Caster of the Acclaimed. That's another Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. Chris Jericho and MJF are going to have a press conference with what we were told are the wrestling media. So I will let you know how it goes. I'm still waiting on my invitation. I have not received my invitation yet to the press conference next week. I assume, you know, USPS in this country is very fucking slow. Maybe it got lost in the mail. I'll let you guys know if I get my invite to the big press conference next week. I got some questions I can ask Chris Jericho and MJF. And Paul White. Paul White is going to speak next week. I don't know if that means he'll be there in the flesh or not, but Paul White will, like a newborn baby, speak his first words on Dynamite next week. Tony Schiavone was so excited when he was talking about this new show. It's going to be me and Paul White reunited for the first time in 20 years. That's an interesting announced team. Yeah, they were teasing in the press release earlier that they were going to wait until Dynamite tonight and announce who Big Show's announce partner, the play-by-play person, was going to be. And I'm like, well, if they're not just telling us in the press release, then maybe they're saving a big name. And I started thinking, well, Mauro Ranallo is not working for any wrestling company at the moment, although he is still a big wrestling fan. Maybe we get a Mauro Big Show team? And then the show started, and they just put a little graphic in the corner of the screen, and it was, you know, Tony Schiavone talking about how it's going to be me and Paul White. I said, okay, well, I'll take it. That's not bad. Tony, I'm not complaining about a Tony Schiavone Big Show combo. I just thought the way they were hyping it up, they were saving a big name. Tony Schiavone does everything in this company. He does commentary. He does the podcast for them, the official podcast. He does countless interviews, right? He's always on location doing interviews and sit-down interviews and stuff. So I figured maybe they're going to go with somebody different. But hey, Tony's got to earn that paycheck. They got Tony doing a million fucking things on this show. But I like Tony Schiavone, so I'm certainly not going to complain about that. If you missed it, I was able to chat with Chris Van Vliet about a whole bunch of different stuff. The mods will blast the link out in the chat. You can also find it down below. Check it out. I think you're going to enjoy it. Thank you again to everybody who has sent in so much feedback. It's been kind of overwhelming. But I'm really glad we were able to finally connect. I mean, I told somebody before, we talked for over an hour. It felt like we were talking for 20 minutes. I couldn't even believe that the full hour had gone by. Chris is very good at what he does. Does a lot of quality interviews with people far more interesting than me. And I encourage all of you to not just check out our interview, but check out all of his other interviews, audio and video. He's got an audio show and there's the video component. And he does great work. So please go ahead and show your support for him. Sub to his channel as well. In fact, if you're only going to sub to one channel tonight, sub to him over me. That's how much I think of his channel. Ryan Spies, Paul White against Marco Stunt is a match that I never knew I wanted, but I really do now. I don't know if it'll be as good as the match we got with, was it Lance? I think it was Lance Archer. It was Lance Archer and Marco Stunt. Says AEW needs to stop with the overly piped-in crowd noise on these taped shows. It gets annoying. You can barely hear promos and music. Yeah, they definitely need to dial that back. Ken Terminated, who I see in the chat. Hope you're doing well, Ken. How was your interview with Chris Van Vliet? And does he smile a lot? He seems like a good guy. A good interview, man. He smiles a lot because he's a happy guy. What's not to smile about? Right? I wish I could be as happy as him. I have too much stress. I have too much stress in my life. We should all strive to be as happy as him, that we could walk around smiling all the time. But yes, it went very well. And if you haven't seen it, please, I encourage you to go check it out. Oz and Glorious. Thank you, brother. Much love. Chris Quellman with the 10. I thought it was a great show, except for the women's match. Will you be streaming your Revolution predictions? And you should really check out his newest video. I think he interviewed Orange Cassidy. I heard about that. I might check that out. I don't know about the Revolution predictions. Probably not a separate video. If anything, I might do them on the podcast. We'll see. We'll see as we get a little bit closer. I'm not planning on doing a live stream, if that's what you mean. But I could always be persuaded. Oz and Glorious, the frustratingly slow build to Lance Archer regularly main eventing has been so worth it. The man is incredibly versatile and a likable monster. It's about time, because for the longest time, we talked about it here. They had this guy, he was directionless. Jake Roberts would cut promos while he would beat people up in the background, and that was fun. But after a while, it gets old, and it's like, well, what are you going to do with this guy? There was no obvious spot for him. And I never doubted at some point that, you know, he'll get some kind of push, but it was like, for how long is this going to go on for? And you're right. Now that we're getting a chance to see him every week on television in main events and big matches, I think he's delivering every single time. And he can go either way. He could be babyface. He could be heel. Right now, he's sort of in that babyface monster mode. I think he does well. And I'm glad. I'm glad to see him finally embraced in a role and not forgotten about here on the shows. Uffman, rest in peace to Solid Monsters women's bracket. Yes, unfortunately, it died a death tonight. Thanks to Nyla Rose. Joe Olivo, Shaq against Big Show at Revolution. No. No. I know Big Show's going to wrestle, but he's not going to wrestle that soon. And Shaq is not going to wrestle two matches in, what, 4 days? Not going to happen. The Cheeseburger, Katrina from Lucha Underground to AEW confirmed. Well, I'll ask her. I'll ask her, since apparently we're friends now. I'll have to ask her. The Murder Hawk, it finally made sense to see Sting. Finally. But now imagine if you didn't see Sting every week and he finally appeared a couple of weeks ago and he got attacked. And then another week went by and you didn't see Sting. We don't know. Nobody's heard from him. We don't know what condition he's in. Makes you want to see him that much more. And then this week he shows up and he starts going crazy and hitting Stinger splashes and hitting Scorpion death drops. That was my only critique the entire time. We were seeing too much of it. Jacob Barnes with the $20. Thank you very much. Since both Brian Cage and Matt Sydal have made their AEW debuts in the Casino Battle Royal or ladder match, could you see the same thing happening in the ladder match? Well, yeah, I was just talking about that. Tony Khan has said that there's probably going to be an open spot. Somebody in the chat mentioned Carlito. I could definitely see that. JJ Delgado is screaming my name in the chat, as many a lady have done over the years. Thank you, JJ. I see you. JJ Smith disagreeing with Raj from Wrestling Inc. on Twitter as he was saying Elevation was happening because the second show fell through. Well, Tony Khan actually jumped into our thread and corrected Raj. TNT second show is happening in 2021. Well, I just said that at the beginning of the podcast, so I don't know what Raj is hearing. Obviously, he's been fact-checked now by the owner of the company. But, yeah, I had heard the same thing, which is why earlier on I made it very clear that, contrary to what some people were saying, this is not replacing the second show on TNT. I don't know what the cause of the delay has been, if it's pandemic-related, if they're waiting for crowds to come back. I don't know. But there is going to be a second show on TV. AOE. Hey, Solid Monster, longtime viewer here. Just thought I'd say thanks for doing what you do. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do, tuning into my stream, because without you, I wouldn't be doing this. Without you guys tuning in, I don't know, I'd probably be sleeping at this point. You know, in my old age. I don't have the stamina that I used to have. I think it's this damn pandemic. Trapped at home for so long, you kind of get used to just not really going anywhere or doing much of anything. So Domination Warrior with the $10. What do you think was Paul White's best heel? Best heel? Heel turn? Is that what you mean? I hope Okada's idea of a super show comes true soon. That would be money. Also, I'm loving the infamous WrestleMania match randomizer. I hope this week it's Ishii and Goldberg. Yeah, that's a fun thing that we do at the end of every Dynamite stream. I only do them on Wednesdays. It's just a tweet that somebody had put together this graphic. You click it, and then when you want to stop it, you click it again, and whoever it lands on, that's your WrestleMania main event. We do it every week. I have picked some horrible, horrible matches. Horrible. Horrible. Horrible and horrible. JD Wanko. Think Renee will make her debut at the pay-per-view. Well, she's pregnant. So I would not suggest having a pregnant woman present for a exploding barbed wire death match. I would advise against it. I would suggest not. JJ Smith. Nemeth got a job for helping the Huber family and babysitting the kids. Yeah, that I knew. I knew he did that. That said, Ryan needs to stop trying to be his brother from 10 years ago. Well, I still haven't seen enough of his work to know whether or not, exactly what level he's really at. Before AEW brought him in, I don't think he had wrestled for a while. So it's really his first time back in some time. And now he's been in a whole bunch of matches. I mean, the matches are fine. There's really nothing that stands out about them. But there's just, maybe it's the hair. I don't know if he's got highlights or what in his hair. It's not just the fact that they're brothers and they kind of look alike. There's just something about him where, maybe if he changed his look up a lot, maybe put a mask on or something. Put like a lucha mask on. That might fix the problem. Then he'd have to start doing lucha moves, though. I don't know if he could do that. Rodimus Prime, again, thank you for the $50 earlier, man. That is awesome. Rodimus is great. Rodimus is always dropping a lot of love here on these streams. Thought it was a joke, but Paul White signing to AEW was something I, like most, was not expecting. Jared M., same to you as well. Jared is one of our loyal diehards. Appreciate his support very much. All on board with the Big Show signing. I don't understand the hate this has stirred up with the WWE fanboys. Well, the WWE, like, really loyal ones, they just don't like anything that AEW does. So no matter what kind of move AEW makes, they'll find a reason to shit on it. Just like WWE fans will, or even AEW fans, will find a reason to shit on everything WWE does. And look, WWE does a lot of stuff that, is warranted to shit on. But there's, on both sides, there is this blind, irrational hatred from a certain segment of that fan population to the other that I don't really understand. It was there from the very beginning when Dynamite first came on the air. It's been there from day one. A lot of it, I think, also comes from people who just don't like Cody, the Bucks, Omega, and that's fine. You don't have to like any of them. But I wouldn't shit on an entire company because of it. That's the one thing I don't understand. That's never made any sense to me. Lance, thank you for the $5. Dry chicken without flavor. Britt Baker needs to be AEW Women's Champion. AEW is hit or miss when it comes to booking their women's division. Love Shida, but a new champion is needed. Shida has been champion for a long time. Hikaru Shida has been the women's champ. How long is Hikaru Shida in the chat? Help me out. How long has Hikaru Shida been the AEW women's champion? Because I feel like it's been probably a good 9 months or so. Let's see how off I am. Somebody will let me know. JD, Cutler got a job based on his friend. Nepotism in pro wrestling. I know, what a shocking thing. Well, look, I'm not saying he has no talent. He may have had a tryout. But I'm sure he probably didn't have to try out if he wanted to work for AEW. I'm sure the Bucks were more than willing to do a favor for their friend. Is it 9 months? 8 months. Okay, I wasn't off. I was only off by about a month. Okay. Yeah, it felt like almost a year. Not quite a year, but almost a year. Yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted the title on Britt Baker. It has to be a heel. I felt it had to be a heel. And he let Britt hold it for a while, you know, a period of months. I've loved her character work. I think her in-ring work has, she stepped up in there too. But you can build to Thunder Rosa being the one down the road. They kind of come back to the whole Britt Baker Thunder Rosa thing. And Thunder Rosa becomes AEW Women's Champion. And now, unless Thunder Rosa wins the tournament and then goes on to beat Sheeta, doesn't look like that's in the cards. I do think Sheeta's going to lose at Revolution. I just don't know. The only question is, who is it going to be to? Are they going to do Sheeta and Riho, two baby faces? I don't know. I don't like what they did tonight, though. Hugo is a massive fan of his since getting into wrestling in 2004. I am incredibly happy for Big Show. It is time for a change, and the future feels bright. Well, it is a change for the Big Show, but it is funny when you talk about Big Show and talking about it being time for a change. Big Show is not the first person I think of. But like I said earlier, I'm not going to crap on this until I see exactly what his role is going to be. If his role is going to primarily be an announcer, I think he can excel in that spot. I just feel like that's going to be a role that he does well in. Like Samoa Joe has done well in that role on Raw. I feel like Big Show would do well. And if there are other things behind the scenes that he can do for them, and you throw a match out there every blue moon, a few times a year, I can live with that. That's fine. But what we don't need is the Big Show back in the ring on TV on a regular basis. That would be a huge mistake. That is not what they should be doing. But AEW, they brought in a lot of legends. They brought in a lot of, you know, older talents to be managers. Primarily managers. I don't see Big Show as a manager. So, I mean, I like that they're finding a role. I do think that there is a place for these people to contribute. Whether it's an Arn Anderson, a Jake Roberts, a Tully Blanchard. I don't know what's up with Vicky Guerrero. Was she there tonight? I didn't notice her. But I think we all need to take a wait-and-see approach on the Big Show. JJ, do you think Anna Jay was supposed to get an upset win on Britt? Anyways, I think Rosa is winning. Very possible that Nyla Rose got the win here because things got thrown off because of the injury to Anna Jay. Yeah, I think that's possible. Yukio Rules, thank you for the $5. All the deadlockites, throw it up for Luther. Nobody answered my question. I asked this question 2 weeks ago. What the fuck is a deadlockite? I feel like I'm the only one who doesn't know what this is. What is a deadlockite? And why should I care? Michael Cuomo, looking forward to whenever you have the next meetup. I know it will be a long while, I am sure. Yeah, it's going to be a while. I do miss those. We always had fun at the meetups, at the bars, and always seemed to be a bar. Bar, restaurant, we've had a whole bunch of meetups. I've met so many people. I miss that. I do miss that. Dry Chicken, if Hikaru Shida stays as champion for another year, I'm calling her Brock Lesnar. You better not get another Sheeta versus Nyla Rose match. Brock Sheeta. You can call her Brock Sheeta. How about that? Michael Jensen. First time sending one of these in. You sell yourself short, Solo Monster. You are very interesting. Thank you for the content every week. Thank you, Michael. That means a lot. I almost said Michael Jackson, but I caught myself. Michael Jensen, thank you for the super chat. JD, if Mox jobs, who should be next for the belt? Paige, Cody, or Darby? Well, Darby, as long as Darby is the TNT champion, it is not going to be Darby Allin. Adam Page is going to get his opportunity. It will not be until we get closer to the end of the year. I just feel like to do it in the next couple of months would be too soon because Omega's not dropping that belt. So I don't think it's Hangman. Cody, they're going to have to come up with a storyline reason. Cody is not allowed to challenge for the title. This is what they did. They did this. They put themselves in the corner. They boxed themselves in. Now they're going to have to find a way out of it. If they could find a way out of it, sure. Cody could challenge, but I don't think it's going to be him either. Lance Archer. Maybe that's why Lance Archer has been getting a big push on TV. They're slowly building him and giving him more credibility so that, and I don't know where he is in the rankings. I don't have the rankings in front of me right now, but could be Lance Archer next in line. Or Sting. Maybe it's Sting. I don't think it's Sting. Michael says, yeah, I kind of figured that's what you meant, but thank you, yes. I thought you were telling me not to sell my shirts anymore. Which, I won't if you don't want me to. No, don't sell yourself short. I will try not to. JD again, my wife and I got married before a lobster and mousetrap death match at an IWA Mid-South show. A lobster and mousetrap death match. I don't think I've ever heard of one of those before. Let me just go back here. I think I want to know what a deadlock it is. And I bet you guys typed it in the chat and I probably missed it. Oh, deadlock is a YouTuber. It's a podcast. Okay, well, I had no idea. But what is it about? You didn't tell me what it is. Is it about wrestling? Is it about music? And Brian Becerra, enjoyed the interview you did with Chris. Just got out from work on the drive home, listening to the review in the car. Well, Bryant, we hear Bryant, his name mentioned every week on the audio podcast as well. Always send it in PayPals and he's bought shirts. He's also been a big winner in the Wrestle Rumble contest. We got a big contest coming up for the AEW Revolution stream that I'm going to start promoting next week, geared more towards AEW this time. So if you've been waiting on the next Wrestle Rumble contest, because we didn't do one for the Elimination Chamber, there was a pick 'em contest, but there was no giveaway. There will be a giveaway for the AEW stream on March 7th. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that. Bryant, I think, has been a double winner in the Wrestle Rumble contest before, so he might be going for a triple. You better give some other people a chance to win, or they're going to be really upset with you. Dry chicken without flavor, though. If Maki Ito joins AEW, she would be the hottest anti-hero babyface in that company. Well, Maki Ito has to move to the U.S. if she's going to become part of the women's roster. I don't know if she would want to do that. I don't even know if she can right now. Everything is still kind of held up travel-wise. I don't know how that works visa-wise. I do think if Maki Ito were to join the AEW roster, she would indeed be one of the bigger stars in that company. But I don't know when she would be able to actually make it over here. That's the problem. Biblical Adrian wants to know what happened with Ryback coming to AEW. Well, I'm assuming that that's something that Ryback has mentioned, and that's why you always got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. Or, hey, maybe Ryback will be the mystery entrant in the ladder match of Revolution. I shouldn't say anything until we get to the pay-per-view and we see who the mystery person's going to be. Maybe it's Ryback. But the only person I've heard this stuff from about Ryback possibly coming to AEW is Ryback. So I'm going to assume there's really nothing to it. Frankly, it's not anything I have any desire to see. I don't know that many people are dying to see Ryback in an AEW ring. But yes, he's probably the only person who I've heard even talking about that possibility. So, no, I don't think that's going to be happening. JD wants to know if maybe it's CM Punk. Oh, come on. Are we still getting CM Punk questions in 2021? I don't believe it is CM Punk. I have learned to never say never when it comes to pro wrestling. But That's as close as I'm going to get to saying it's not going to be CM Punk. Yeah, Robbie says any source on Ryback is Ryback. Well, it's like the Sammy Guevara story. I talked about that last week. There was some heat involving Sammy Guevara rejecting some creative that was floated to him from Impact Wrestling. He didn't want to do it. They told him to go home. And there was a report the next day for, I think it was Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Live, who said that he had spoken with a source close to Sammy Guevara to give Sammy's side of the story. And I joked, and I even in the clip on YouTube, when I put it up on my channel, I put a little, I had, you know, Steve put a little mustache as a disguise. I said, yeah, his source, we'll call him Manny Bavara. I think we know who his source probably was. Ryback is Ryback is Ryback's source. All right, so I think we're all caught up on your super chat. So again, thank you for all of the support and all the comments about the Van Vliet interview. That is very cool. Oh, we got one here from Juan Ocampo. He says, "Ah, brother, it's going all Jimmy Snuka on me, brother. What year is it, brother?" Says the Giant is back on TNT. Yeah, first Sting, now the Giant. Who's next? Who else from WCW? Who's left? We've already seen DDP. Scott Steiner? I guess if we get some Steiner promos, that might not be so bad. Oz and Glorious. Everyone saying CM Punk is finished said the same thing about Edge and Sting. The cons have deep pockets. I said I'm not saying never on CM Punk. CM Punk himself, if you watch the interview he did with Renee Young on her oral sessions. Gotta make sure people know what I'm talking about here. So, you know, if I say here and I say that Punk was on the podcast with Renee, that, you know, he gave Renee oral, people are going to go nuts. He gave an interview on her oral sessions podcast. This was probably the closest I've seen him talk about the fact that, you know what, I might be open to possibly going back to WWE. He no longer is saying, no, absolutely not. He sounds like someone who is at least open to the idea. I still don't think he's going back to WWE anytime soon. There's clearly issues that would still need to be resolved. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he could show up and do something with AEW. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that it's an impossible thing. I think he would absolutely be open to the right offer. I just don't see it happening. And I don't believe that there is this burning passion that he has to get back in the ring after 7 years. Because if he really wanted to be back in the ring on a major promotion, it would have happened years ago. You know, when we heard stories about Punk wearing a mask and showing up at independent shows, you know, I believe that he still has a love for wrestling and he just loves to pop in at shows and do that sort of thing. But look, if he wanted to go back to WWE or join AEW when the promotion first started up, he would have been there on day one. I don't think, not that he doesn't care, but it's not something that's obviously that important to him. And if he needed the money, he would take the first offer he gets. So when you don't need the money and you're content to just do whatever it is that he's doing, I don't think he's in any rush to come back. 7 years, I think it's safe to say he's not in any kind of rush to come back. Dry chicken without flavor. I wonder why Vince McMahon never grew a hairy beard. Maybe he can't. Maybe he can grow hair on his balls and not his face. Grapefruits have hair? I don't know. I don't want to know. Some people just can't grow a beard. I've tried. I mean, it's very light. I'd have to put the Hulk Hogan coloring in there for you guys to see it. Some people just can't grow these magnificent beards. Maybe he's one of them. Maybe he doesn't like them. Maybe it's like sneezing. He can't stand it. Right? They say he hates cigarettes, cigarette smoke, sneezing. Maybe he hates beards. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic night. Good show tonight. Next week's going to be another big one. Shaq and Jade Cargill. Oh my goodness. This is going to be very interesting. So I will see you guys next week. Take care.